253 meters, medium wave on time band. Time check now is at 1:32, 2 minutes after 1:30. And of course it's news time, as I'm sure most of you will know out there. We've had some exciting happenings in the past fortnight, and we're fairly well promoted this year. News this Sunday. Well, it's fairly involved, so anyone who just likes music, I'll be waiting some while before it will come on. That's our team tune there in the background, Bula Bula, courtesy of Capital Radio. Says to Eamon from Capital with best wishes, April 1978. So our team tune, our original has not been recovered yet, but our new one is in action now. Such an important bit of news. I think first of all we should delve a bit into myself. Many of you out there just know me as a voice. Perhaps you've seen an odd photograph in the paper, perhaps you have not, but to most listeners out there I'm a voice that comes on occasionally on Sundays at 1:30 with news on the station. Some people tune in, some don't, but there you are. News on your station, since it's not really ours up here. We're running it for you, whatever your choice is in the way of music or whatever you want. We do try to bring you what we can, as best we can. Right, since we've had some exciting times and hectic times over this past week, it's best at first, before news, I go into myself a little bit. Since a lot of what I thought were my staff have certainly researched my background. And fairly thoroughly. You'll have to excuse the voice, it is a bit hoarse. Lack of sleep, among other things. Now, who am I? What am I? Yes, I'm 40 years of age, born here in Dublin, educated over in St. Vincent's, over in Glasnevin, on to various jobs, not too many since then. My family, mother and father, yes, still alive, very ultra-Republican. That was my upbringing. But there you are. Maybe a bit too ultra-Republican during my young days at school, where, fortunately or unfortunately, whatever way you take it, certainly I would take it to be unfortunate, that due to those activities on behalf of the country itself here, I had to spend certainly some time in Portlaoise, Shandacara. These facts are known now to people who have taken this house apart in the past fortnight. Every letter, every stamp, every document has been turned over and read, and all of these people whom I trusted with my house, the keys of my house, have gone through all of these. A lot of documents have been taken away. Important documents signed by me. They've been taken away and they've been photostated by a very reputable, at least I would have thought, reputable firm in town. Now there's little point in rubbing a bit of mud in there by naming the firm. but that has been the situation. These documents have been bandied about here and there, and I think all have now been recovered, to my knowledge anyhow. There may be an odd copy floating around, but that's it. Well, from there on, a little bit more about me. I got organized, of course, in or got involved in Radio Dublin, oh, roughly 5 years ago. It was then a very small station operating on Sunday afternoons, sometimes Saturday afternoons, and very low power wind, very short range, maybe a mile, maybe 2 miles. We were quite happy to play records and take in the odd few requests. Well, and sometime last year, there was a split in the ranks. Yes, there was a disagreement over station policy and a number of other things. And myself and Dr. John. Right, that is okay. We parted on fairly amiable terms. Dr. John has been to the station here since, during the week with me. We parted, and the station, of course, progressed. It delved into a few more hours per week. It was still small, a hobby station. It was gradually creeping into commercials, but very slowly. The staff of Radio Kildare joined up with us then, and we continued on until September or so of last year, when those staff who live in Naas thought that the distance travelling from Naas up to Dublin here, just for a Saturday and a Sunday, was too much just for the short bit of airspace they had, and I certainly had to agree there. So we parted again on very friendly terms with Radio Kildare, who wanted to set up their own station in Kildare, and they have done so. I haven't had time to listen in to them, but I understand that things are progressing down there, and they're enjoying themselves. They're playing away something similar to ourselves. We then had James Dillon, Jerry Campbell, and a few others join up at the station, and it did become more professional, at least we thought so, and judging by our letters and everything else, it got better. Our range was not great, so we had to improve. We got one of the best, certainly the best engineer in this country to build our transmitter. So that on Christmas week we started off 7 day a week operation on Radio Dublin, and we haven't ceased since. We have been running permanently 7 days a week, barring the odd visit from the authorities, which is a hazard of broadcasting. And, well, that is about my life story. Certainly I've seen a great deal of life in the country and in the world. I've been around a bit, yeah. Now there's other little items which I don't like going into, but they are common knowledge to all of my staff. So what can one do? Must delve into them. Unfortunately, my wife, I'm sure, won't like this idea, but there you are. My background is known. I was married, actually, in 1961. Not too sure just what age I was then. There you are. My wife died, unfortunately, of a heart attack in 1965. 2 years later, I remarried, yes. And I am certainly happily married for the past 13 years, and I'm still. My wife, of course, is, I'm sure, inside, listening away to the radio there, and wondering, why must I dig up so much? Well, it's already been dug up for me. As one of our ex-staff said, Miss Catherine O'Kelly said, we all have our little secrets. Yes, we all have our little secrets. Everyone out there has some little secret he wants to hide away. Well, a lot of this I would have prepared to be just kept to myself, but that was not so. I left the studio, the station, in the charge of Mr. John O'Brien, usually known on the radio there as John Paul. I handed him over the keys of my house and said, there you are, John, will you take care of this house, the studio, make sure this station operates as it should. And I think I was very satisfied that that would happen. Unfortunately, it did not. But what I was not to know. I had an offer of a holiday in Spain, free. I didn't have to pay passage or anything else. But some of the staff could go off to Spain for 1 week, just 7 short days away from this hectic life. Practically 20, 24 hours a day, sometimes working on the station. So we felt we needed a break to gather our forces again and progress a little more forward towards a license for Radio Dublin. So Sunday fortnight we left, late at night, on a plane, myself and 4 others. Sylvia was among them, a group of 5, one of them a young child of 6 years of age, just gone 6. And off we went to Spain. We enjoyed ourselves. We sat out in the sun. We had a most enjoyable time. I came back with maybe a little too much sunburn, but it was good. We had no great worries. We wondered a little about the station, but we took it for granted that everything would run right. We had a reliable crew. Everybody would be fairly well on time with programs. The commercials had all been lined up and they would go out properly, so what had we to worry about? Well, yes, what had we to worry about? I'd like to tell you, let you hear a little about that after the news. And so we arrived back in Dublin Airport and were met by Mr. James Dillon and Jerry Campbell. And we were shown a copy of Sunday World, Sunday Week's Sunday World. Put an article in it there on the station. Fairly bad, certainly, there's no doubt of that. Saying that all of the staff had mutinied. A statement had been issued to the papers and all the rest. When I asked whether this was in fact true, nobody would say whether it was all true or not true, so I had to assume that it was. I returned to the station then within a short time. I was told, of course, that it was off the air, that there had been a breakdown in the transmitter. And so I returned to this station. John Paul was the only one in the place. 5 minutes before that, all of the staff had been here waiting for me. But I understand Mr. James Dillon had telephoned the station, made contact here on the phone and asked that the station be cleared. All except for John Paul. Whether Mr. Frank Murray, an employee of Lasky's of Rat Mines, actually cleared the station or not is not too clear at this point. But word is that he very ably cleared this station of people. And that was the situation. I came back to no station. As I had been warned before the holidays, that if two of us, the two people in control as such of Radio Dublin, left the station for any length of time, that we would have no station. That's what I was told, and that is what I got. No station. Attempts were made then by myself, right through Sunday into Sunday night, to assemble some type of standby transmitter. Well, now we'll take a quick rundown as to what I found in the station when I did come back. First of all, the main transmitter, as I said earlier in news last week, was not working. That was all I could say about it. I could not say it had been sabotaged or anything like that, because first of all, I hadn't examined it. I just looked at it, it was burnt out, had gone on fire, and that was it. It was the following day before I had proper time to examine and everything else and discovered that there were no doubts at all. Sabotage was involved. Other things which I can only say were actually broken down. Our set of record decks, twin decks we normally use with records in each deck, they were not working. Nobody can say what happened. Neither can I. Both of our tape decks were not working. They are working now, certainly, but at that stage they were not. Our microphone, again, was not working. I can't give a reason for this either. Many other little things happened about the station, certainly. Pre-recorded programs amounting to at least 50 hours had been wiped clean. There was nothing on them because I had intended, when I did get the transmitter back working late on Sunday night, to at least put on some type of programming. But searching through tapes found them all to be blank. Most of the good commercials, which were ongoing and would continue for some time, they too had been taken away from the station, or at least they are not in the station now, that's all I can say of them. I'm trying in this news now to stick to bare basic facts without surmising and hearsay and everything else. I'm attempting to stick to actual basic facts, so if I don't mention some things and name out names, that's because I just simply have not absolute proof on them. So we take ourselves on to what else was found in the station. Damage, yes, certainly there was an amount of damage, not to a great extent. Nobody went around with a hammer breaking up things. Granted, our video monitor, it's light for it, for lighting up the station here at night times. Granted, yes, it was damaged outside, but there's various reasons why that could have been done. Our letterheads and our car stickers, well, now they are a different story. Many of you will have seen car stickers, Radio Dublin car stickers, 2 by 3 meters on them, on cars and on lampposts and everything else around town. Well, we did originally have 10,000 of them. They were available free to all of our listeners, yes, and a lot of you have them out there still. We had disposed, I think, of about 5,000, I think, and we should have had 5,000 remaining. And if you can excuse me just 1 second, a cigarette is on the agenda. I don't smoke, I don't drink, so a cigarette was the only thing. We'll steady the nerves and keep running through the news. And now, where were we? Yes, we were under car stickers, letterheads, commercials, the actual scripts. What happens in a radio station is that when someone wants an ad on the station, they come along and we write it down, we have it typed out, and it's set time of going out, the actual wording and things like that, and it's laid out in the form of a script. Now there are a vast number of them, are usually read out by some of the DJs. Seldom I am on, because I do have to admit to one thing, I do not make a DJ. The only reason I bring station news is that if station news is important and it lays out allegations against people, the comeback is on me. I am the responsible party. So the comeback is on myself at all times. If someone else reads news out and they make a slip, the comeback there again is on myself. So it's far better that I take the full responsibility of putting out news, and if somebody else did it, I could safely deny parts of it and say that that wasn't what was meant to be said. So, news going out, totally my responsibility here in this station, and I hope always will be. Now, I've skipped over a little thing there. Car stickers, letterheads, commercial scripts, and such items were taken. Now, we don't know by whom. Nobody admits to it. A fair few people have admitted to the fact that it did happen. They were taken into the back garden of the station here, put in a wheelbarrow, and they were set fire to. Now that is actual fact. Most of the staff of this present Big D have agreed, yes, that did happen. Everyone says they were not for it, but the fact is, it did happen. Now during those 7 days we were away, the house was so thoroughly searched that a good raiding party by the department or some other people could not have done as well, even if they had that length of time. I am one of those people who perhaps hoard letters and postcards and birthday cards, perhaps too long. I don't really throw out anything in this house. Listeners' letters, yes, we keep them. It doesn't matter how far back they go, we just don't throw them out. So that the situation was that people could look way back into my background. They could turn up letters 20 and 30 years old. Yes, they are still here in the station. All have been opened and read. Some have been taken away and photostated. Yes, I am aware of that. So that all the little secrets in my past are no longer a secret. They're well known to at least 30 people who no doubt have told their friends who have told their friends. So there's little point in trying to dodge some issues on the radio. It's as well that everybody knows me personally at this stage and knows my little bit of background, whatever there is. Now, when knowledge was got that I had been involved in the Republican movement when I was at school, a search was made of this house for a gun. No doubt if such an item had have been found, or ammunition or anything like that, the Gardaí would have been called in, and that would have successfully closed down Radio Dublin. Now, I have a great deal of responsibility here in this station. Not just to the staff, they are just part of the station, they play your records out there. But my responsibility is to listeners. They come first. Above all things, the listeners must come first. Because it is your station out there. That's why. Now, some people have told me, do you know the power of radio? Yes, I am aware of the power of radio, only too fully. I know that things I say on this radio today will make one particular gentleman leave his job. It is most unfortunate, and I do regret having to do it. I do sincerely regret having to do it. But unfortunately, this man has taken it upon himself, and maybe perhaps with others, but I cannot prove it, others, upon himself to destroy this station. Not so much me, my reputation as such certainly has been rubbed into the ground and made mud of, but that is of minor consequence. The most important thing is that this radio station as such survives. Its reputation over 11 years has been as clean as snow, and that is the way it must remain. At one stage there, some months ago, I did tell DJ Sylvie, the only one whom I trust 100% at the moment in this station, 100%, and I do mean that. I did tell her that if at any stage a person came along whom she thought could run this station better than myself, could progress a little better and get it to a licensed stage, I was quite prepared to back down, hand over this transmitter, all of the equipment, set it up in some other location, and I'd bow out of Radio Dublin. I'm in Radio Dublin for one purpose only, to ensure that it gets a radio broadcasting license. To make money is, I'm afraid, of no real interest to me. It's going to be quite easily done, to get involved with high finances and make a great deal of money. The offers to date have been fairly tempting, as no doubt some of our staff would have seen from some of the documents they turned up in this station. There have been allegations that the station had been taken over by big financial interests. Now, I won't name those financial interests, it would not be fair to them, but I can assure everyone that Radio Dublin is owned totally by myself, the captain, and by DJ Sylvie. It is a co-op between two people, and that's the extent of ownership. In the past, approaches have been made by major firms, and I do mean major firms. I won't name out which firms either. All I will say is that one of the firms is among the top six firms in this country, and I'm sure those gentlemen out there sitting wondering, will I name them? No, gentlemen, that's not my style. If you can approach me, certainly, in confidence, myself and Sylvie, certainly we will set out and talk over proposals and everything else. And if we think they are suitable and good for the station, and that it will get a license, and that our listeners out there will still have part of it, and share in it, and have a say in the running of it, then perhaps we would consider involvement. But to date, we haven't found anyone who could support the station in this way. We've met many, many people. We've had nice lunches with them. They were nice, yes. And we've talked over things. And in the long run, we have thrown them all out. The offers of money were considerable. One of the station staff at the Big D at the moment will bear me out in the fact that £250,000, a great deal of money, certainly to any person it is an enormous amount. That would have been mine there shortly after last Christmas to put into bank and dispose of as I saw fit for a 60% shareholding in Radio Dublin. But it's very hard to explain to some people that money is not of any interest. Some people just don't believe it. Many of the staff who left me do not believe it, because many will leave for one thing: money, better wages, better conditions, as they are entitled to do. People are quite entitled to do that. They are entitled to leave one job or one station and join up with another. There are no restrictions in this station. Nobody has ever been got rid of as such. When personnel come in here, they stay permanently until they do decide to leave. Now I better drift back onto what actually happened in this station during that week. The week we were away, we left on a Sunday night on an aeroplane, five people, off to enjoy ourselves in Spain. On Monday morning, the format of the station had changed, and the name Radio Dublin had been dropped, and in its place was the Big D. It had been agreed that John Paul would look after this station. John Paul or John O'Brien, whichever you may like to call him. John Paul, at present, working in the Chariot Inn in Ranelagh as a DJ, originally as a Radio Dublin DJ, promoting Radio Dublin on stage, and naturally we did promote the Chariot Inn, now working as a Big D rep and as a DJ on the Big D. So there you are, that is our John Paul. And of course John Paul was to just look after this station, ensure that everything ran smoothly and was not to have airspace. The airspace had been allocated right through the week. The hours were to be 8 a.m. until 12 midnight, and that was it. All of the staff were well versed in their hours. For some unknown reason, on Monday, John Paul took to the airwaves between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. promoting, of course, the Big D. And it continued as that through the week. On Monday evening here, there was allegedly unrest among the staff over wages. Now, Mr. James Dillon has been to the station here last night and today, and he's agreed that he has had no disagreements over wages. Mike Eastwood, of course, better known perhaps as Michael Cotter in Inchicore, Seamus McLaughlin, known on the airways here of Radio Dublin as Shea West, they admit to having no disagreements over wages. And nobody has approached me regarding wages in the station, so I must assume that there's some false allegations there. On Tuesday, the news was brought forth that the station was owned and sold twice over, or three times over, to big financial interests, and that myself and Sylvie did not own the station at all. It was owned by people who were out for a big kill for quick money. Well, again, this was an attempt, of course, to move all of the staff out to a new station which had been set up. Again, this was of no avail. It did not succeed. So, what happened next? Well, a scandal, rumour, or take it what way you will, was dug up from somewhere or other. I was not here, so I could not refute it. I was in Spain, and anyone wishing to close the station couldn't have picked a better opportunity. That would have been ideal. The allegations, of course, are the type of allegations which people cannot disprove. They can deny them, certainly. They can deny them, like myself, until I am blue in the face. But as everyone out there will say, well, there's no smoke without a little bit of fire. And what can one do? How does one disprove this type of allegation? That children were allowed into Radio Dublin and were molested. Yes. I did stop and pause in the first news there last Sunday when the transmitter did get going, very low power, and I had to repeat it in case people did not believe what I said. Yes, they were the allegations laid down against me personally, that children were allowed into this radio station here and were indecently molested, or molested, that was the actual allegation. All I could do, of course, was deny it and ask for proof. Proof was supposed to have been on a tape recording. Nobody, of course, knew of the tape recording. The story out, of course, there's so many stories, so what do you believe and what do you not believe? A great deal of investigation went on, certainly all through the week. That's perhaps why I find my voice a little bit hoarse. Lack of sleep,